make one of those spinning plates. If you're a spinning plate kind of person and that's just the way you live, I know I'm a little bit that way.
Or a list maker. I'm a big list maker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Add to that list balance.
Yes. Yes.
Add to that spinning plate balance and maybe even make that your priority one. And so as you've got this plate spinning over here called doing my work and this one called take care of the kids, and then remember, oh, wait, I got to keep this balanced life spinning.
Welcome to Consciously Speaking, exploring the evolution revolution. On Consciously Speaking, you'll be introduced to guests from all walks of mindful development. Spark up your spirituality, crank up your consciousness, and mend your mind right here on Consciously Speaking with your host, Michael Neely.
Hello, conscious explorers. Welcome to your sweet spot for mindful awareness and waking up. I'm your host, Michael Neely, and you're listening to Consciously Speaking. You know what's up for me this week is that I am featured as an expert speaker in a free online training event, The Art of Personal Mastery, and I'd like to invite you to join me and 21 other experts as we share insights and strategies to create the most effective habits for success and happiness. Now, in this training, there will be an exploration of language, brain training, and neuroscience, as well as practical steps to enhance your daily habits so that you can experience a shift in many areas of your life. We're talking about overcoming fear, resistance, and mental blocks that get in the way of you living more expansively and creating a higher level of success, however you measure that for yourself. So go to www.theartofpersonalmastery.com and save your spot, or simply click on the link on the show notes or at michaelneely.com. Now it starts on April 11th, so sign up now and I'll see you there. And now for today's topical content show, I am excited to be joined once again by my friend Amy Scott Grant. You may remember Amy from season 1, episode 140. Amy's a master intuitive healer with an uncanny knack for going straight to the root of the issue to get you clear using her masterful intuition and her own unique clearing methods. You can check out her details at www.askamyanything.com. And Amy, thank you so much for coming back and joining us. Welcome. And I'm going to turn it over to you to let our listeners know what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me back, Michael. It's always a pleasure. You do such a top-notch show that I'm thrilled to be back here hanging out with you for a little while today. So thanks for having me.
You bet. It's fun.
It is fun, you know, and it's interesting that you say it's fun because this is work for you. And what I thought we could talk about today is work-life balance, because I know that's one of those things that comes up for a lot of people, right? Especially women. I know not just women, but that's definitely a hot button issue for, you know, well, let's be honest, for anybody that's trying to have it all.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And why shouldn't you, right? But somewhere along the way on that path, things can kind of get a little wonky and we can feel like we're kind of lost somewhere in the mix of our to-do list and our responsibilities and our commitments and our promises that we've made, right? I'm sure you can probably relate to that at least a little bit.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. One of the things, too, I want us to touch on, Amy, as we talk about this today, is the wake-up calls that we get, which sometimes are totally external, and sometimes it's what happens in our body. So when we don't pay attention to that balance and things get out of balance. So I want to talk about that too.
Boy, yeah, you're right. And especially with mentioning body, that's often the last thing we pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Until it's just screaming for attention and refuses to be ignored 1 minute longer. Then we're fine. What do you want? It's like the most annoying child on the planet. That's what we treat our bodies like.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely is. And when I talk about a wake-up call, I mean, fortunately, well, or unfortunately, however you choose to look at this, I've been dealing with a lot of issues with my family this last week. I had a stepbrother who just passed away. And I had both my mother and my oldest sister both in the hospital. And all like seriously within a matter of a few days of each other. And also my former stepson as well getting hit on his motorcycle by an SUV. But a lot happened at once. But what it did for me was the wake up call was to say, hey, take care of your body more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been working so hard that I haven't been working out. It's like you said, we start to neglect our body. And that's when you end up in the hospital. That's nature's way of saying, hey, you're out of balance and I'm going to shut you down.
Exactly.
You know, you end up in the hospital, you end up sick, or you do it some other way. This is an interesting part too, which I know you'll be real keen to cue in on. And that is that sometimes we create something subconsciously, an accident, even if it's not a health issue that our body's saying shut down, we create something else to slow us down.
Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah.
Right? You are not kidding. Or it's some kind of like relationship fallout.
Yes.
Or getting blindsided. Who knows? Like at work, you get some kind of slap in the face at work. It doesn't even have to be as extreme as being laid off or getting fired, you know, but it could be like you got passed over for a promotion or you didn't get that hot client that you thought you were going to get, you know, that you were like, oh, I know I'm a shoe in for this project or this client or whatever, and it just like didn't pan out. So
yeah,
these wake up calls can come in all sorts of formats. And it's interesting how we can ignore, you know, I think that's why this is the phrase, you know, usually I'd probably come up with something a little bit sexier than quote work-life balance, right? But it is what it is, to be honest. And we don't really need to dress it up or give it some sexy name to get people interested in talking about it, because everybody wants to know about this. And it's one of the questions that I get asked more often than anything else is, how do you keep it all balanced? Because I know you've got kids, Michael. I've got three kids, right? And I have my business. I have my kids. I have other interests. I have my husband of 20 years. You know, there's a lot going on. There's organizations we belong to and everything. And so people do ask me that. How do you keep your crap together? Really? Like, how do you keep it all together? But how I keep it together is that balance is always a priority for me. And that doesn't mean that I never get out of balance, but you know, whatever you focus on tends to grow and improve, right? And so balance is one of the things that I focus on. So I'm sure we'll get into some. In fact, I'm certain, not just because I'm psychic, but like I'm certain we'll talk today about some solutions for work-life balance. So if somebody's hearing this and thinking, I'm drowning, I'm doing 17 things while I'm listening to you guys, right?
Yeah.
We'll give you some solutions, I promise. But first, let's just take a look at what we're even talking about, right? What is work-life balance? Because I think for some people, it's this sort of mystical nirvana that doesn't really exist. You know, it's out there somewhere, but maybe someday I'll get to it. So it can seem really out of reach for a lot of people. I think there's misconceptions about work-life balance that say, you know, you can't be super successful and have work-life balance, right? We have some limiting beliefs around that we look at people that are highly productive or financially extremely well off or have created a business that's just exploded. And we think that they do nothing but live and breathe and eat and sleep that business, right? That's what we have this perception a lot of times about people, that in order to have one area of your life thrive, you have to focus all of your attention and energy on that area. I mean, that's kind of what we've been conditioned to believe, you know, if when you were a kid, if you were into sports, I'm sure you probably heard things like, well, you know, if you want to get really good, you got to put in a lot more effort.
That's
you got to
right.
put in more time. You got to pay your dues, you know, and not just sports, but anything. If you want to be an actor, you hear about paying dues or being an artist.
Yeah.
You know, the time, you know, you got to put in the time. So I think that's part of our kind of work ethic is we've been conditioned to believe that it takes tremendous energy and focus. You know, it's interesting. I can't help thinking of this analogy, which is good. It might sound a little weird, like everything I say, but just bear with me. I promise it'll pay off.
I trust you.
Years ago, I did the Evelyn Wood speed reading program, right? Which is amazing. I did it right when I started grad school. And I really wish I had done it when I started college. But it was smart that I did it when I started grad school because the average person reads like, I don't know, 1,200 words an hour or something like that. And I think if you take the speed reading course, you can go up to like 7,000 or more. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
What's insane is you actually retain a greater percentage when you speed read than when you read the way most of us were taught to read. And what they said in this method, see, I actually retain this too, even though the first chapter, they give you like really good tips and then you speed read the rest of the program. It's actually kind of fantastic. But I remember reading in that program that when we're first taught to read, we read out loud, right? And so, you know, we're sounding out these words and we're saying them out loud. And then when we make that transition in school to learning to read silently, no one actually teaches us how to do that. Mm. So we end up reading silently, reading the words the same way we did out loud.
Yeah, out loud in our head, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We say each word in our head, and that slows us way down, and we could get really bogged down in the words as opposed to getting the essence of the message and picking up the necessary details, which is what speed reading allows you to do. And I think that's the same thing. See, I almost forgot where I was going with that analogy. I got so excited about speed reading.
I almost sidetracked you, too, because I have a thought I'll share in a minute on that.
Perfect. So, but it's the same kind of thing with balance. You know, we think, okay, we have to really, you know, we have to really focus. We have to dig in. But nobody teaches, or I mean, focus. Yeah. Like if you want to get really good at something, you sort of laser your focus and you become all about that. But just like no one ever taught you the proper way to read silently, which is to let your eyes absorb groups of words and let your brain do all the hard work in terms of processing and synthesizing that data, because everything that your eye sees is being captured somewhere in your brain. It's recall is really about, you know, how to bring that back and bring back that synthesized data, right? But at any rate, just like no one ever taught you how to read silently in your mind, no one ever taught you how to create balance in your life. They only taught you how to focus on getting good at the task at hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're almost like not equipped, at least in the Western society, we're almost like inequipped to be able to live a life of balance. So if you think back through your life, you could probably look at each phase of your life and think, well, when you were in college, you were probably either very, very focused on your studies or you were very, very focused on your social life. Or maybe you were an athlete and you were very, very focused on athletics and, you know, you did like what you could to make sure you didn't drop your GPA below what was required or whatever. But you kind of picked a track and that's what you stuck with, right? And if you focused on one, the other stuff probably suffered. If you were a super good student, you probably weren't the most popular kid on campus. There's always, you know, an anomaly in that, like the exception that proves the rule. But generally speaking, whatever you focused on, you got really good at, and everything else kind of fell to the wayside. And you probably told yourself, this is just for 4 more years, or this is just for 2 more years, or whatever point you were in college, you probably said, this is temporary. You know, I could do this because I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. But then what happened when you came out of college? You went right into a career, or you went to grad school and it was more of the same. And then, you know, maybe you got married, you had kids, and you're like, okay, now I got to focus even harder on the business so that I can pay for these expensive children, which people tried to warn me about and I didn't listen at all, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. So it's very interesting because then we sort of hit this point in our life where we think, you know, well, sure, I'd like to have it all, but is that even possible? Who knows? Because nobody ever showed you how to do it. And you probably did not have really great role models at having it all. I know I didn't. You know, my dad was an entrepreneur. He worked for himself. He worked really, really hard. He did not love what he did, but he was established. He was a veterinarian, is a veterinarian. He's not dead. I don't know why I keep saying was. No, he's fine. He's like in his 80s, right? And he is a veterinarian, but that was not ever his passion. That was just like, he didn't really focus in school. And so it was kind of like, okay, what do I have the most credits in? Okay, I could actually go into veterinary medicine. Okay, I like animals. I don't like people. Little did he know he'd have to talk to the owners all the time and deal with people too, right? Which is kind of funny. But so I know I didn't have role models that had it all, you know, and people that I saw on the news or on TV or whatever, again, their lives seemed really one-sided. Maybe they were super famous, but they couldn't stay married to the same person. You know, they'd been married 17 times or whatever, or maybe they were super successful, but there was all these scandals. It seemed like a tipped scale was the norm. right? And I think now we see such a push today with people wanting to get more into a space of feeling centered, feeling balanced, feeling like they understand why they're going to work in the first place or why they're putting so much focus and energy on something in the first place.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Amy. And one of the things that I know I'm guilty of, and I think this is a challenge for so many people out there, is that it is that one day, someday thing that, you know, if I work really hard now, I'll be able to relax so much more, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now or when I retire, you know, if we're pushing it out that far, which some people do.
Yeah.
And so it's about bringing it to the now. And so what I'm really wanting to figure out a couple of things. One is, you know, and I love that you used the speed reading piece of it. How can we get people to grasp something faster would be awesome in this respect. To how can we bring it to the now? What are some great practices to get you to say, okay, hey, look, you know what? I put in my 8 today. It's time to stop and shift my focus to the other parts of my life that are important to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's do something first, if you'll permit me here. Kinda.
Sure.
Not, it's not like we have an agenda. We had a topic. That's it. Everything
exactly.
Else, we're just
unscripted.
Our third eyes here. So why don't we take a minute? Let me just kind of walk everybody through a visualization, right? Because I think before we even talk about solution, it helps to know what does work-life balance even mean to you? Like, what would that look like? So if we could just kind of get settled for a minute, you could close your eyes if you want to, unless you're driving, then definitely don't close your eyes. But just relax and just kind of breathe. And think about this question. If my life were balanced right now, what would be different? Not like what would I have to change to get balanced, but if right now you had this sense of you felt balanced, you felt centered, you felt like things in your life were getting handled. If you felt good right now about your life, like really good, like, man, things are clicking. Wow, I could even feel some fear come up from some people like, oh, no, I can't have things clicking because that's when the bottom drops out. Okay, let's just set that aside for a second. If you did have everything running in your life like a well-oiled machine, it's all moving and grooving. What would be different for you? Would you go to bed earlier? Sleep later? Would you sleep more soundly? Would you cook, maybe? Grab less stuff on the go and think a little more about your meals? Would you work out? Or would you stop working out? Or would you work out less? Would you travel? Would you have a bigger house? Would you have a cleaner house? Would you have more harmony in your house? Take a minute now just to notice what would be different about your life. See, now we have some context, some very personal context, because there's no right or wrong answer here. You know, Michael, what feels balanced to you could be completely different from what feels balanced to me.
Absolutely. I mean, like when you said, would I have a cleaner house? I was thinking, no, I would have a house cleaner coming every week.
Yeah, which I do. And as I have to say, can't recommend enough.
I know.
Especially with 3 little kids running around.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, Amy, I want to get back to this. For our listeners, if you want to keep in this state of thinking about that as we go into our sponsorship ad, that's fine. And if you want to listen in, this could be relevant because it happens to deal with life balance. and that is that today's episode is being brought to you by the Mother's Day Weekend Rejuvenation Retreat at Mercy Hot Springs, California. And I got to say, okay, a listener wrote to me the other day, Amy, and said, hey, this retreat sounds really interesting, but who's leading it? And I realized I had not been saying anything about that in my previous spots. And so it's a great question. And it happens to be being led by my beautiful wife, Megan. And she's a highly qualified yoga instructor, as well as an amazing personal development coach. And I'll be one of the childcare providers helping out, and I'll be the meditation guide on this retreat. And what's awesome is it's at Mercy Hot Springs, California, so you'll get to relax in the supportive embrace of the healing geothermal waters and get the restoration that your body and soul have been longing for, put some balance back into your life. And since it's a special Mother's Day rejuvenation retreat, you can come solo with your beloved, bring your own mother, a dear friend, and even your kids. Like I said, I'll be there to help watch them. They'll love the pool, and I'll keep them entertained while you enjoy the amazing retreat. And at just $400 to $500 per person for double occupancy, which includes accommodations, all of your meals, all retreat activities, and unlimited use of the hot springs, it really is an awesome deal. So click on the link you'll find on the show notes or at michaelneely.com for more details, and I look forward to seeing you there. And that'll add some life balance, don't you think?
That sounds like the perfect solution for life balance. Okay, wait, I have to say this. This is perfect. Okay, first off, that sounds amazing. I'm like checking my calendar. I'm like, wait, what do I have to say?
What am I doing for Mother's Day?
I'm like, that sounds so fantastic. But I wonder what tapes were playing in people's heads as they listen to you talk about that event. Like, I wonder, was it, oh God, that sounds good. Oh, I don't think I can spend that much money on myself.
right.
Like, believe me, you spend $400 to $500 every month on other people, but could you indulge that on yourself? So I wonder what came up, because that really clues us in to what are some of the blocks that you're experiencing around balance and self-care, right? I can't spend that much money,
I can't get away that weekend. I've got plans. Exactly. I got to do this. I got to do that. All these commitments.
Exactly. And that this is what we're talking about today, is how to create balance, not in spite of, but actually amidst the commitments that you have.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it's not just this awesome weekend that Michael's talking about, right? It's a pedicure. It's a massage. It's a day off.
It's a hot soak in your own tub at home, even.
Yes. You know? It's like the nice Epsom soak. It's a hot cup of tea, not while you're doing 50,000 things, but just to sit and be with your tea. When's the last time you did that, right? So it's not in spite of. And granted, you probably will have to schedule stuff in, right? Let's be honest. We're all busy. We all have like a million things going on. And so it's not like you're always going to be able to spontaneously just go and do whatever today. But so you probably will have to schedule it in at least initially. But it is important to hear what negates that desire, right? Because I know that I wasn't the only person listening to you describing that weekend and thinking, oh my God, that sounds really good. Like, that sounds really nice. Can I do this? But I wonder what came up for people, like, well, I can, or, you know, I can't leave my husband with the kids all weekend, or I'm not dragging the kids to California, or who knows what else they said, right? Or I can't get work, or this or that, or I have too much to do. I bet a lot of people were thinking, I have too much to do to go away.
To get away, yeah. And Amy, you know what I love about that, and this is an exercise that I recommend for people as well, is, you know, the analogy of the spinning plates. I've got so many plates spinning in the air, and if I miss one, it's going to drop and fall and bust. So there's a couple of things I want to cover on that. And one is that make one of those spinning plates, if you're a spinning plate kind of person and that's just the way you live, I know I'm a little bit that way.
Or a list maker.
Add to that list balance.
Yes.
Add to that spinning plate balance, and maybe even make that your priority one. And so as you've got this plate spinning over here called doing my work, and this one called take care of the kids, and then remember, oh, wait, I got to keep this balanced life spinning, this plate spinning that allows me the balance. So that's one. And then the other thing, I challenge you, let a plate drop now and then. You'll be amazed. They'll spin just fine on their own. They won't break. You can pick them back up. They'll
Your
be fine.
Your ego will recover.
Yes.
Yes. Because that's really, that's so important, right? Like one of the, you know, just to kind of shift into solutions here, I think we also have to look at some of the reasons that we don't have work-life balance, that we don't make it a priority. And one of them is exactly what you're talking about. Like, well, I have to keep all of these plates spinning. I have to keep all of these balls in the air. I have to keep my to-do list like just so that I don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do you remember maybe the last time you got sick, like really sick, where you were in bed or maybe you had surgery or something? It was like,
yeah, everything
okay,
was fine.
Everything didn't get done exactly the way that you do it. And it didn't get done exactly the way that you like it done. But you know what? Nobody died. Nobody just didn't show up for school that day, right? Like the kids all got bathed and fed and dressed and went to school and work went on without you, right? Like
yep.
The world kept turning. And I know that's a blow to our ego, right? Because we think I am the glue holding this whole household together, right? Or I'm holding this entire company together, like by a thread. But the truth is, it will keep going, you know? And no, it won't be the way you want it. You know what? A couple years ago, and talk about work-life balance, right? Okay, so you know I have this book, Boom, right? 2015, Boom, and now I have 2016, Boom. And it's like a personal almanac to structure your life, right? To get the most out of your year. And one of the things I talk about in that book, I probably wasn't supposed to promote that, but too late.
No, that's totally fine. We'll put a link on the show notes as well so people can check it out.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say, we'll edit that right off.
No.
Well, and one of the things I talk about in Boom is, you know, there's a one whole section around sort of evaluating, like, how do you run your life, right? And how do you allocate your time? And like, where does your time go? How do you actually spend your time? And as a result of that exercise, you can look and see kind of how your time is getting lumped into categories. And I don't mean the categories we usually think about, like work, personal, family, food, you know. No, I'm talking about categorizing in things like escapes, necessary actions, unnecessary actions, right? It groups your time kind of differently, and you get to see whether or not, and you not your the way that you allocate your time lines up with your priorities in life, like your strongest priorities in life. So it's a very eye-opening exercise. And one of the things that came out of that for me was that I realized it also there's also a piece in there that helps you identify like what you really, really resent doing and what you hate doing. And some of it you could just let go of. If you can let go, you could just release it, not do it. Other things have to get done. So for myself, as a result of doing this exercise a few years ago, I realized that I was really resentful about doing the dishes. Like, I know we have a dishwasher. It's not like I'm washing these dishes. Okay. First world problem. I know. But I'm just saying, I noticed like how resentful I was that every day I had to load the dishwasher, empty the dishwasher, and people were not washing their plate. It was just like, it was just becoming an irritation to me. So I thought, okay, what would have to, as part of the Boom process that I take people through in this workbook, I was like, what would have to shift in order for me to not do dishes? And at that point, I think my oldest was 8 or 9. She's now 12. But I was like, okay, could she actually do the dishes? And guess what? If you guys really are honest with yourself, you will relate to this. I thought, oh my God, she's not going to do them the way I want them done.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
It was like, she's not mature enough. She might break something.
I'll have to redo them anyway.
Yeah, it was, I'll have to freaking redo them anyway. And so I thought, oh my God, for this to happen, like, okay, so I can either continue being resentful because these dishes are going to have to get done every day. There's no way around it with 5 people in a house, right? So they got to get done every day, sometimes twice a day. So I could either continue to be resentful, or I'm sure at some point I could be mature and not resent it, but that didn't seem like an option at the time. Or I could choose to let go of some control, gasp, and give this task to my daughter and show her how to do it, knowing that She's like nine, so she's not going to do it exactly the way I show her, right? And she's my most stubborn of the three. So that was like a huge growing experience for me. And I'm telling you, like, in order to create work-life balance, if you're a control freak or a recovering control freak, you're going to have to start to let go. And that's your option, is continue to not have balance, continue to be stressed, to potentially have physical strain and effects on your body, or yield a little bit of control. And for me, this may sound like a baby step to you. For me, this was a huge step. And so, but I found that once I handed it off, it took me like a couple of weeks to really let it go, right? Now, of course, she was little too. So I did have to kind of train her, like, oh no, you can't just have like all of this stuff on this plate, right? Guacamole is not coming off in the dishwasher. I think we all know that. You've got to get avocado off a plate before it goes in the dishwasher, or you'll be washing it 100 times. So after a couple of weeks, it was like so freeing. And then what would happen is when people came over to my house, I would just warn them, right? So if I had anyone staying with us or people came over for dinner or whatever, I would say, look, I need to let you know, an eight-year-old does our dishes. So you should check everything before you take it. If you take something out of a drawer or cabinet, you need to just look at it before you eat off of it. And you know what? People, like, I don't know what we think will happen, like how we think we'll be judged, you know, if our dishes are not perfect, if our glasses are not spotless, or like whatever else we make up in our heads. But instead, do you know the response that I got time after time after time was, are you kidding me? How do you get your eight-year-old to do dishes? Please tell me. That was like the most common response that I got. Nobody could care a fig about if anything was dirty. They were like, oh, teach me. How did you get your eight-year-old to do dishes? I'm like, yeah. I don't know. Started paying your allowance. And we're like, you have to do dishes to get allowance. Okay. It was that simple, right? But, well, it wasn't that simple, right? There's still battles.
Yeah, a little back and forth.
Yeah, but it was like, that was sort of a huge, like, I had to release control. So part of one of the solutions, right, is looking at what are you doing that you don't need to be doing? Like, are you willing to let that go completely? I remember 20 years ago when Andy and I first got married, like, he has like 4,000 white socks, right? As most men do, probably. And some of them match, some of them don't, right? So when we first got married, you know, and I'd do laundry, I would like fold his underwear and like match up his socks. Please, who needs to do that, right? They're his socks. He could go dig for two that matches if he even cares if they match. And underwear does not need to be folded. You've got to be kidding me. So it's just everything from little things like that. Like, what can I let go of to, you know, what are you doing at work or what are you doing in your career that is not making a difference? Like, what would happen? Like you said, Michael, what would happen if I let this plate drop? And it might be like a tiny little teacup saucer. It might not be like the platter, right? But if you can look and see, you know, what actually can I let go? What can I stop doing? And then the next trick is to not fill something in.
Right.
Like, oh, good. I'm not folding socks anymore. So let me start, you know, organizing our entire library of books or whatever.
Yeah. 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 You find that empty spot. Then it's like, okay, what's missing in my balance? I think that's when it's important for us to maybe even just take some time, meditate on it, or sit down. If you're not a meditator, then sit down with a piece of paper and go, okay, break my life out into categories. And here they are. And what's missing? What am I not taking care of? And then balance it out.
Exactly. And that's all stuff I do in the Boom Workbook too, is walk you through all that. But you could look at what area of your life needs more attention. Like, what's just banging right now? What is like so good that it's rolling? Okay. So do you have fears that if you take a shred of attention off of that, I'm not saying if your business is banging, don't take all the attention off of that, but I bet you could give up an hour a week.
Yeah.
2 hours a week, you know? And another thing that's, I think, huge is TV is such a time sucker. And I'm not saying cut out all TV. I know some people do say that. You need to be on a media fast and cut out all this media and whatever. But one of the exercises in Boom has you look at like how many hours a week realistically are you watching TV? If I ask you to estimate, I promise you will underestimate. But there's a time tracking log in there for just 3 days that will help you get a much more accurate estimate of how much time is really going to that. And there's, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with watching some TV, but the question is, why are you watching it? You know, is it like this amazing show? Like, our whole family watches Survivor. I've watched it since like season one, right? So it's like an event. We're like, okay, Survivor's on, everybody shh, shh, shh. You know, and my husband knows if you wait to start till like 12 minutes in, then you can go all the way through.
Oh, yeah. TiVo passed the commercials,
right?
You know.
And now there's that D, right? Do you have D where you could just like skip the commercials, which is like fantastic.
Oh, I don't have that yet. I got to watch for it.
Some shows have it and some shows don't, but it's literally like a single button and it skips all the commercials.
Nice.
I don't know why companies are still paying for advertising on TV, because there's like every which way to skip the commercials. But anyway, so that for us, that's like an event, right? Like we love Supergirl, right? So we all sit down and we watch that together, and we usually end up like talking about it afterwards and stuff like that. So is your TV watching like truly a form of entertainment, or is it like, okay, my brain is dead. I need to just put on some garbage. Like, let me just put on Real Housewives of whatever and just, you know, zone out. Yeah. Like, are you trying to shut off your brain? Are you trying to escape? And some escapes are very useful, like meditation. That's mm-hmm. a good one. You know, relaxation. There's, I don't know if anybody, like if you watch or if anybody listen to us watches Big Bang Theory, but, you know, that Sheldon is like trained, like, oh, you're upset, let me bring you a hot beverage. Well, do you know, I was just reading that, like, when you drink hot beverages, it actually has this whole physiological response in your body. Because several months ago, I started drinking like hot water with lemon, which a friend of mine told me about. And I like laughed her out of the room. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Why would I drink hot water with lemon? That sounds nasty. And then one day I was like, I'm just going to try it. And I loved it. Oh, my God. It was like the most soothing thing I have ever drank. Yeah. But it's fun. I'm actually drinking some right now. Right. It's mm-hmm. so good. And so warm beverages actually create this like soothing. It has like a dilator effect with your vessels. It calms you. It soothes you. But do you think like grabbing a Starbucks on the way to work in rush hour traffic is soothing? Like, probably not. So what if you had like a hot tea or hot cocoa or some other type of calming beverage that you literally just sat and enjoyed?
Yeah. Yeah.
But right. Like just by yourself. I mean, that's something anybody could work in if they're just willing to interrupt their patterns a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Amy, I know we could go on and on about work-life balance, and maybe we need to do another episode down the road on this even, but we do need to wrap it up for today. And so I also want to tie it back into consciousness, which of course you tapped on a bit with the meditation. And I think a key element for whatever is getting out of balance in your life, especially the work-life balance, and maybe we will come up with a sexier word for it, but I think bringing awareness first and foremost, that's what consciousness is all about. Bring your awareness to what is off. Where am I putting in too much and what is missing? Because if you don't, something's going to happen. You're going to either do something to self-sabotage your efforts in one area, or your body's going to shut down. You're going to get sick. And then mm-hmm. it's going to say, you know what? You got to lay in bed now for 3 days and let everybody else take care of stuff because you didn't listen to me.
But you won't relax. You'll be stressed the whole time about everything you're not doing, right? So then the cycle repeats. Okay, yeah. Can I give them this tip like really, really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so right on that note of what you were saying is I have a tickler on my calendar every week. For me, it's Wednesday. And it says, in fact, I'll open up and read it to you. It says, Amy, remember to check in. What do I need to add or subtract to become more balanced? So every week I have this little tickler that comes up and I have to just stop when it pops up on my calendar and go, oh, what do I need to add or subtract in order to feel more balanced? And maybe it's to let go of worrying about something. Maybe it's to complete a project that's been lingering. Maybe it's to, I don't know, pay my library fines that have been bugging me or whatever. Like, whatever it is, I just go, okay, and I'll do it. Because I know we get busy. I know we're all scheduled. And we need these kinds of little reminders. And then if you don't do it, if you don't do the self-care, pay attention to why, because that's going to tell you exactly what the blocks are that need to be cleared so that you can make your feeling balance more of a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And I want to thank you for bringing your wisdom to our listeners today, Amy. It has been a real pleasure. And I also want to let our listeners know that you are going to be one of my expert guests on the Conscious Life Summit. So
I'm
please.
So excited. Yeah.
So people, please sign up today. It starts June 3rd, goes June 3 through June 10. And there's going to be 24 wonderful guests, including Amy. And this next person I want to tell you about real quickly, and that is that Shakti Durga, who joined us in season one, will be visiting the U.S. and Canada in April and May of this year. And if she's going to be anywhere near you, you can join her for a series of life-changing intensives, workshops, seminars, and satsangs. I think I pronounced that right. Shakti Durga is an illuminated spiritual teacher, musician, author, and healer who gives blessings and spiritual initiations to people seeking empowerment as peacemakers. She caters to those who want a genuine, mystical, yet practical, grounded, transformative path of spiritual awakening. For this purpose, she established a school of spirituality and healing called Shanti Peace Mission. And her tour includes programs in Encinitas, San Diego, California, Waking Up the Goddess, Falls Church, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., Opening a Portal to Love Wisdom, Soho in New York City, Empowering Relationships, Rocky Mountain Ski Lodge, Canmore, Alberta, Canada, Nurturing Our Divine Nature. Now you can get the full details, dates, locations, and booking information on her websites, which you'll find on my show notes or at michaelneely.com. And Shakti Durga is also going to be one of my special guests in the Conscious Life Summit 2016. So check it out at www.shaktidurga.com. And so I've got Amy, you, Shakti. I've got a wonderful list of guests, including Katie Hendricks, Angie Swartz, JJ Flazanes, Heather Gray, so many great people in the Conscious Life Summit. So thank you for joining me today, and thank you so much for joining me for the summit as well.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. I can't wait till the summit. It's going to be fantastic.
I know. Very exciting. And I'm going to put your book link on my show notes as well. So anybody who's interested in picking up, is it called Boom 2016?
It's actually called 2016 Boom.
Oh, I got it reversed. All right. So 2016 Boom. Okay. I'll put a link for it on the show notes and on my website.
You've been listening to Consciously Speaking with me, your host, Michael Neely. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and a review. You can learn more about the show, check out the guests' bios, leave comments and feedback at www.michaelneely.com. Until next time, live without limits.